Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You tune in to Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Meterwave 1548, DSTV 826, as well as simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. South Africa is in a state of panic right now. We have witnessed parents who have requested the children to not go on excursions. We have seen parents in a state of panic, and what are we going to do about it? When they hear words such as child trafficking, when they hear of incidents where there are abductions and kidnappings, when there are videos going viral on social media, the whole of South Africa is sitting back and looking and thinking, what is happening to our youth? What is the SAPS doing about it? What are we as a community doing about it? How are the videos realistic? Are they reenactments? Are people just posting on social media and creating a state of panic amongst parents and educators and children as well? What is going on? So for more information, or the person that will be giving us some more light on this subject, I am pleased to have Colonel Brenda Muridili, who is the national spokesperson for the South African Police Service, with us today, amongst other guests who we will be talking to a little bit later. Good morning, Colonel Brenda, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, Bibi, and thank you for having me. Good morning to your listeners, too.
Thank you so much. Now, Brenda, you know, there was a message that went around, it went viral. It had your contact details. Is the spokesperson from the SAPS. Please share that message with the listeners, and let us put some calm into the panic state of mind that is going on amongst parents right now, because they are hearing horrific stories about kidnappings. There's videos circulating. What is going on?
We as the police had noticed that in recent weeks that there had been several videos that have been shared on social media, but our concern came in about 2 weeks ago when we saw that these videos are increasing in intensity, and now the incidents are also perpetrated showing that kids are being abducted at malls, at schools, everywhere. And we took it upon ourselves to do our investigation and check with our local station as to the validity of those videos and if we had any such incidents reported in our police station. Only to find that no, yes, we still have kids that go missing, and then those are being reported by their parents to the police station, and action is being taken. There is a search that goes out for them. It's a multidisciplinary team, including our doctors and everyone. As soon as a kid has been reported to be missing, they go out there and they search for the child. Mm-hmm. But with this incident that we see on social media, the challenge is we have never had an incident where a parent or a relative or a caregiver came to the police station and say, I was at the mall with my child and he was abducted by a group of men, or this as perpetrated by the videos on social media. Mm-hmm. So we decided to call upon social media users to be responsible when sharing information on social media before verifying it with the police. As you have already mentioned, that it only seeks to cause panic and paranoia within our community.
Most definitely. And the thing is also with the public, I mean, if someone sends you a video before you're going to broadcast it, I know in your article as well, your appeal to the public is contact your nearest police station and verify, is this true? Has this been reported?
Yes, we do use social media sometimes to assist in investigation, and it's a platform that a communication platform that also assists us when we have wanted suspects, and they are posted on our Facebook and Twitter, and we do appreciate that even the tips that crime tips that we receive via social media. Mm-hmm. But then when someone posts this thing on social media and parents out there take that as valid, and then it starts causing panic and paranoia. But we also try to do a community outreach programs, and then where we go to schools and then educate children on their rights and the fact that they do not have to talk to strangers. They do not, especially in our rural areas where children go to school far. Mm-hmm. We encourage them to rather work in a group than seek a lift or from unknown persons, because that can result in abduction, and
yes.
then at times it can result in them being kidnapped, and then the parents not knowing what happened.
Mm.
As for the young ones that play on the streets, and we always appeal to our parents to be vigilant and know at all times where your child is. If you know that your child always plays next door, so don't take it for granted that when the child leaves home, then the child will go next door. Verify that and know who your child's friends are, so that as soon as you do not notice that your child is around, you go directly and you report immediately that you do not see your child. You should, as a parent, know the habits of your child. You know that as soon as your child comes back from school, they go, they eat, they do 1, 2, 3, and they go to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But then around 4 o'clock or in the evening, they're already back at home. But if you do not see that, you do not have to wait. There's no waiting period to report a missing person.
Mm-hmm.
Parents can call. If there are suspicious activities that they see in their areas, they can call our crime stop line 0860001 or call the nearest police station.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in cases of you know, like where a child could be a victim of, you know, an attempted abduction, you know, I know there's another unit that you said that parents can contact. Could you please tell us the name of that unit?
Parents can contact still when they have that. They can still contact our crime stop.
Mm.
But we have a unit within our South African Police Service that deals with crimes against children and women, which is our Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences Unit. Any incident that involves children is being investigated by that unit.
Mm. To what extent do you think parents give away information about their children's personal details on social media? You know, your child gets a prize, you put your child on social media. Your child is at so-and-so school, their picture is on social media. You know,
I have seen also a message that goes around telling people that they must remove their children's pictures on social media. And it could be to some extent, but that's if your child is being targeted to be kidnapped.
Mm.
But, you know, when you're on social media, on Facebook, if you depending on the settings that you said, you only have your friends or your friend's friends that look into that picture. You do not have the whole world looking into that picture, which makes it like if someone will go and kidnap, it will mean it's someone within your inner circle.
Yeah.
Because you have to make sure that you do settings that that does not allow and everybody. Your settings should not be public if you are scared that people in your child's picture there will cause any harm to her or him.
You know, makes a lot of sense. Ma'am, your general advice to parents right now, like you said, you know, there's a lot of euphoria and panic that's going on, you know, us as educators as well. You know, when the minute the bell rings now, there's a lot of parents waiting to take their children because they are so scared with all this information that they're being inundated with on social media. What would you like to say?
Advise that your children to be in groups, to always walk in groups when they go into school, when they're coming back from school, when they play. Your child shouldn't be alone, or there shouldn't be two of them, because they can be overpowered. But if they walk in a group of five or something, a vehicle that tries to snatch them cannot snatch all of them. One of them will be able to go inform the children, the parents at home or the elders that something has happened, and immediately that happens, it should be reported to the police, nearest police station, 0860001, or our emergency line 10111. Then the call center will be able to send the relevant vehicle to the family or where the incident has happened to assist immediately.
Mm. Maybe the other thing I wanted to just ask you, you know, based on the message that has been circulated on social media from the SAPS, there was a comment made that some of these videos that have been going on about you know, attempted abductions, or you know, the comment that was made was, that's not verified. Could this be reenactments? Because, you know, you can't even identify the location.
Yes, we have seen that most of those incidents that happen, you do not see exactly what is happening and where it's happening. And it is so convenient that someone took that video but omitted to send it to the police and inform the police this incident happened where, and then please assist. You just see it on social media. What is it going to help when it's on social media? The only thing that it could do is cause panic and paranoia.
Mm.
So we do also appeal that if you are a witness to such incident, also report immediately to the police or to the police via the line that I have already mentioned, or to the nearest police station, or you can simply call 10111 and inform them of what you have just witnessed. And then witnesses also have to be willing to be part of the investigation, because you need to be interviewed further in order to establish what happened. And to also, Keith, if you see something like this happen in front of you, you do not need to cram or the number. You just need to know the vehicle, the color of the vehicle, the direction it took. If maybe the person that kidnapped or snatched your friend has a tattoo, what kind is it? And we know that if that incident happens or when it happens, you will be in panic and you'll not. But try to notice the little things that will be able to assist the police with the investigation.
Madam, thank you so much for your time and coming on to Radio Islam and as well as Sirius FM and sharing this information with our listeners. You know what, keep up the outstanding work that SAPS is doing to try and protect the citizens of South Africa. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brenda.
Okay.
In studio, I have with me Ms. Bhavini Dalpit from the Civilian Crime Intelligence Network. Bhavini also works at the Integrated Emergency Response Call Center and owns a counseling practice to assist victims of trauma. Along with Bhavini, we have attorney for the Umar radiallahu anhu Legal Clinic, speaker for Cyber Safe Kids South Africa, which is a project of the Islamic Helpline in Indonesia, and executive member of the Islamic Helpline. She's also a member of the Civilian Crime Intelligence Network, Sister Sumaya Wali. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thank you. Thank you, Asha. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we heard from the SAPS. They're standing on all this panic and euphoria that's being created by false information that the public are just sending out and creating all this horrific videos and messages, and the whole of South Africa is freaking out. What are your thoughts, Bhavini?
I think before we go further, we need to understand as well that even though a lot of kidnappings have been reported lately, not all are kidnappings. I mean, with CCIN, we've seen that a lot of them are kids that have just gone missing or runaways, but parents say it's a kidnapping so that they get the assistance they need. It's runaways based on family issues, friend issues, school. So there's a lot that goes with it. Some of your kidnappings are also related to deals gone wrong in a family business. So I think there's more to it than what we see on face value.
Than the general abduction that we assuming that there's the syndicate out there that are taking children.
Yes.
Is this Sumaya?
Yeah, look, if I can come in here, you know, abduction is defined legally by the taking away of a person by persuasion, fraud, or open force of violence. Essentially, there are two types of abductions, parental child abductions, which happen after divorce or within a family dynamic, and then abductions by strangers. Unfortunately, social media sort of highlights the more scary elements of these stories. It turns the focus on the dramatic things like the kidnapping and brutality and monster-like perpetrators, etc. But the subversive themes are the social issues that inform the abductions. Also, you must understand an abduction does not necessarily mean that a child is being trafficked. The personal sort of circumstances of families, social issues that inform these missing children, like Bhavani stressed on, irresponsible safety behaviors, which is a basic, it's something that is essential in this current climate in South Africa for adults and children. Things like deceit, fraud, you know, business deals, sexual grooming. So it's not as clear cut as you would like to believe. And unfortunately, like Brenda suggested earlier, the irresponsible use of social media, you know, it causes panic, creates panic, and it is a waste for organizations like CCIN, who have multiple partners, CPF members, private security companies. The private security company industry is large in South Africa.
Yes.
They play a great role in assisting and supplementing the work of SAPS, as do the CPF members and neighborhood watches. And unfortunately, it's a huge waste of resources. There are official reporting channels in South Africa, those are, you have to visit a police station, take the details, and open a case. And, you know, just putting it out on social media and having the message go viral, it does not mean that you have a legitimate case.
Which is true. I mean, often there's been messages of children that have been reported missing or kidnapped, and then someone will say, but this child was found 3 years ago.
100%.
So that message, you know, is
Yeah.
Again, you need to verify, because clearly, you know, parents are in a state of panic. But the thing is that the skills that we need to empower our children with, as well as, you know, reminder for parents, is life skills that you need to know irrespective of which country you stay in and irrespective of what the crime levels are. You need personal safety is very, very important. 100%.
Aisha, in the current climate in South Africa, children in South Africa are predisposed to and are victims of a variety of crimes and types of violence, ranging from opportunistic individuals to serial offenders to more organized and structured networks. And abductions or missing children, they can be used for you know, muti and the performance of rituals, organ trafficking, simple revenge, you know, bad relationships go sour, and perverted people within. Unfortunately, most of the missing, you know, statistically and historically, you'll see that with most of the missing children, it's often someone they knew and trusted, not a total stranger. So sexual exploit, all these things are real, they're realities in our society, and it's important for us to exhibit responsible safety behaviors.
Yes, definitely. Also, you know, we need to take into account that when children sometimes get frustrated of being at home, they just run away, which is the truth, running away with the boyfriend or friends, or just feeling like I need out and I need to run away, and then later they realize that.
I think just adding to that as well, when parents do report their kids missing, they need to obviously inform SAPS and other role players that are assisting in finding the kid of everything, history, background, I mean, whether the kid's on drugs, or there's a lot of vital information that gets left out. And only after the kid is found, then you find out all of this. So then you'll find out that, oh no, the kid has psychological issues or has been on drugs before, been in rehab, come out, and, you know, back on. So if we don't have all that information, we can't assist.
And often also disclosing if the parent and the child does not have a good relationship, which is often not disclosed. And then we just say, you know, the child's been abducted.
Yeah, I think people do that because they think that as, if there's some weight, if they say my child's been kidnapped and they leave out the pertinent details, they're more likely to get, you know, people rally to their support and look for these children. But essentially, it's a waste of resources. Look, say general safety behaviors, it's important. First of all, you know, any parent, we need to be present. Children need our presence and not our presence in as in gifts. They need our presence. And we are creatures of habit. So it's important to change up your routines, vary your behaviors. And this is not only in relation to just missing children and abductions. It's in relation to general safety practices.
Yes.
You know, make your children part of your safety plan for securing your home, your family safety plan.
Now, I just want to come in there. You know, the question that I asked Brenda when I said, you know, do you think to a large extent parents can be giving away too much information on social media? And she said yes and no, because she said obviously if you're adding someone on your account, it's people that you know. But then another point that you made, Samaya, that often when children are abducted, it is by people that they know.
In their vicinity.
So again, to what extent are we giving perpetrators information about our children?
I mean, it's not only social media. If you look at it as well, because of the lifestyle that everybody is living today, parents are more likely to say, here's money, go out. So also you put in your kids in the public and you're allowing other people to basically stalk them and be predators. So it's a catch-22 situation. So you block your kid from doing certain things, but then at the same time you're allowing them out there to be free. So the level of freedom is not what it used to be.
Most definitely.
Yeah, look, Aisha, social media is definitely a predator's playground. It's designed in that way. It's a perfect hunting ground for potential people with sort of bad intention and predators. But, you know, the time our kids used to spend socializing outside of the home, some of it is also replaced by interacting. And as a parent, you have to be present. You have to know who your child talks to. Keep this profile secure.
Yes.
Those exhibit responsible safety behaviors.
And monitor what they're doing online.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to be returning after the break. Please, if you have any questions or you want to talk about anything that your children or yourselves have been approached with, please do call us on 011-854-1548, and inshallah we will be returning after the short ad break. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International, Media Wave 1548, DSTV 826, and simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Please call us on 011-854-1548 and join in the discussion. We're talking about child trafficking, kidnappings and abductions. South Africa is in a state of paranoia. What can we do to remove this paranoia? We spoke to SAPS media spokesperson Brenda Muridili, who said that a lot of the videos that are being circulated on social media are not verified. So before we send any information out, please verify with the South African police services. Okay, we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, who are you speaking to?
You're speaking to Riyadh.
Okay, how are you, brother?
I'm very well, thank you. I just like to give my input in terms of missing persons, and this goes to the two ladies that are sitting in studio there.
Please do.
Okay, the initiative that has been done by CCIN Network is of great importance. You know, when the group was created by Dr. Riza Patel, it has actually helped a lot of people. I'd like to ask the two ladies, either one can answer, when going out and assisting, how does this affect the family life on your personal capacity?
Yeah, we're just going to get to that, because I know Smeya is a mummy of many kids as well. So ladies, if either one of you would like to tell us that, because obviously that must be very traumatizing for you as well.
Okay, so basically, I mean, based on all the cases we've dealt with up till now on missings or kidnappings, so families want the help until the kid is found. Thereafter, it's okay, we'll close doors and we'll deal with it on our own. However, they don't realize that it doesn't stop there, because the kid obviously has gone because something's happened. And if they don't get the help or the counseling or the assistance that they need, whether it be the kid alone or the parents or as a family unit, it's going to happen again, or there's going to be another incident that takes place.
Why is brushing away under the carpet? Like you're saying, like, you know, sometimes the incident takes place again. I mean, would there not be a procedure for trauma counseling for the family, for the child?
There is, but I think we need to also remember that it's a consensual thing. If they don't want it, you can't force it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we live in a society that doesn't want us to know their business, or it doesn't want to be out in the public, because what is the next person going to say, or are we going to be judged?
Until the next incident happens again and they come to
yes.
you for help again.
Yes.
So, this is Mayor.
If I can just get back to the other question, I think, you know, working as part of the CCIN, I've come to learn that the people involved, yes, there are multiple role players in any one missing case, etc. And the people involved, I think, are passionate.
Mm.
The often these people don't have their personal lives and their family lives come second. It's the
wow.
their duty to the community and the duty mm. to the people and their passion for assisting. We have CPF members, you know, Neighborhood Watch, ordinary citizens that just lift
yes.
their hands up and say, I can and I'd like to do. So in terms of the personal impact, I think that there is a great cost personally
mm.
to assisting and working in the space, you know, in this kind
that
of safety space.
Yes.
However, I think that many of them are absolutely 100% willing to do so.
So may Almighty reward everyone that is involved in that.
I've just got one more question quickly, if you
mm-hmm.
don't mind.
Okay, quickly, please.
In terms of the work that you guys do, obviously one talks about a new, you know, like a kind of a payment plan or something. I know the CPF members do not get anything like this. What drives a person to go out there helping a community free of charge? Because in today's world, there's nothing for free. So what drives you guys and drives CPF members to go out there and do this thing for free?
Okay, brother, I think that she did answer the question when she said that, you know, obviously they're passionate about empowering the society and looking out for the general interest and safety of the people in the community.
100%. I think it's passion, passion
so
and love. The willing, the want and the recognition that we all have to live in this
exactly.
society together.
And it takes
a concerted effort and a combined
yes.
effort.
Of course. I think it's the duty of everybody, every citizen in any country, to make sure that everyone's living safe and to be there for the next person, because we all depend on each other ultimately. Okay, ladies, you know what? I need to ask you something. Smeya, like I said, you as a mum, you hearing all of this information, you are involved in all the different organizations that you are doing, non-profit organizations, right?
Yes.
Bhavini, you're seeing these children coming back and forth. They, you know, you're dealing with trauma counseling. Sometimes, thankfully, you know, when parents do realize that we need to go further with this therapy, what are your thoughts when you see the children in your family? Like, you as a mom, you as an aunt, what are you telling people in your family? Like, how are we going to empower these children if they are faced with an awkward situation?
Conscious, responsible safety behaviors. Communication with your children is an essential. Those two things are an essential. Know your child. If you are not paying enough attention to your child, somebody else will. That's the basics. It's terrifying, you know, hearing these reports, living in a society with high levels of violence. But, you know, make a conscious safety plan. Keep your social media accounts of your children private. You know, we have habits today. We baby walks and we put up a video on social media saying, even calling the baby by his or her nickname. So you're giving potential predators all the information they require.
Mm-hmm.
So responsible and conscious safety behaviors. Change your direction to and from your habits. Human beings are creatures of habit. Most crimes are committed because the criminals do their work. They observe you. So change up your habits. You know, change it up. Teach your children. Have a frank and balanced discussions with children based on their age.
And
that's important.
Also, again, you know, stranger danger is something that you need to be reminded of all the time, whether your child is 4, 5, or 25.
We've given our 4 children a password that only we have and the responsible adults who would, you know, we both work in, pick them up from school, etc., would give them. So they are well aware of the emergency procedures in our home, the alarm systems, the kind of passwords. They know not to run to danger, but to run away from danger.
Mm-hmm.
They know to scream and bring attention if should they feel threatened. And they know to come to us if they feel threatened or, you know, uncomfortable adult's behavior, whether they know that adult or not. That is important to stress. Whether you know that it's not stranger danger is a myth. It's often not the strangers that are threatened. Bhavani will tell you.
Bhavani, please add on from an aunt's perspective.
I think just adding on to what Sumaya said, it's about education and being open with your kids. So, yes, there's a limit of how open you can be, but, I mean, if you don't talk to your kids and you're allowing them to live secret lives, if we can call it that, then how do you know what's going on? I mean, you can have a daughter, for example, who's in a relationship with a boy that you don't know nothing about, and you don't know what comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So are you also opening her up to further dangers by not asking questions? And it's not saying you want to know everything, but at least be an involved parent.
Even with general friends, I mean, if your children are saying, you know, after school we're going here, we're going there, you need to know who the friends are. Where are they going? Who's dropping you? Who's picking you up?
100%.
I want to meet your friends. Obviously, the minute they say children, you know, are reluctant to tell you more information, that means they're hiding.
Unfortunately, as Sumaya will tell you, in today's times, kids, the first thing you say when you want to know things, oh, it's not your business.
Yes.
I can do as I please. So it's very different from when we're growing up where parents would want to know where you're going, with who you're going, what time are you back, where are you now. You know, I know my parents used to always check up on me. Are you okay? What's happening? What time are you coming? Whereas now it's like, okay, you're going out. When you're home, you're home. I mean, kids have access to the house themselves where they have a house key. So it's parents are sleeping, kids are already still
and
out.
The other thing is also, you know, we're giving away information about yourself. You know, you can be sharing information with your friend. Your friend can be sharing it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who that other person is. This is their third
100%.
Person. And, you know, that's, again, giving them information about your personal life and endangering yourself.
And that
yourself.
Goes back to being responsible. Responsible, conscious safety behaviors. Also, I think, and some people call me a fuddy-duddy, I think crime and violence is very informed by several factors. You know, poverty, you know, economic status, all those kind of things. But more importantly, it is the family dynamic and the moral regeneration of our society. And people say, you know, you're fuddy-duddy. And I'm not talking as a Muslim. I'm talking generally. I think there's a general overall moral degeneration in our society. And we need to find a way back to basic ethics and values.
Again, we children need to know that yes. the what child, right? that's
what
the
is
parents.
Wrong?
Yeah,
what
exactly,
is wrong?
Exactly. Yes. But then if we can just share some general safety tips that parents can, you know, teach their children, from young children to older children, you know, simple things would be like, you know, there's a lot of messages also going now. Again, it's a life skill that we all need to be reminded of. For children, it's something that they
yeah,
need to survive.
So, for instance, children need to know how to notice things. Mm, you know, we're so
yes.
stuck in our phones and stuff. We play a game with our kids where we ask them questions, memorize something. So we'll say snapshot, and the kids have to point them in a different direction,
mm.
and then we'll ask them questions about what they just observed, and that trains them to sort of take note of important
yes.
things like car registrations, colors, you know, what people are wearing. So to simply be, you have to be conscious. You have to be conscious of your safety, and you have to, you know, have a safety plan, talk to your children frankly, you know, use a whistle for younger children,
yes.
password systems, and most important, communication, and be a present parent.
And often they were saying that, you know, when the kids go to school, madrasa, you know, they label their bags, they label their lunch boxes, they label their clothing so it doesn't go missing. Another thing that, you know, we have been made aware of now is that someone's looking at your bag and they say, okay, this is Muhammad or this is Sumaya. And you just go up to a young child and say, hello, Sumaya, how are you? And you know,
hence
for you.
The safety password.
There
Teach
we go.
Them not to talk to strangers. Do not talk to people who you know that make you feel uncomfortable. Run away from danger. I don't know if Bhavani wants to add more. But, you know, it all goes down to just, you know, talking about it frankly and, you know.
The other point that's also been very, you know, going around, you know, with messages also to empower, you know, the youth as well as parents, is that if you are, your child is being followed by a car, run in the opposite direction. It buys you some time. If the car is turning around, you have some time. So I don't know, Bhavani, would you want to add to that?
Come in there. Yes, to a point, but I mean also a car versus a kid running. Let's be honest here. I would
yeah.
suggest go to a busy place and ask for help. Get someone to phone 10
or
4-1.
If you're in some quiet little street or something, start screaming.
Scream as loud as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know whose attention you're going
That's
to get.
True.
So any sign of disturbance that someone can notice, and I mean, you can hear a disturbing scream versus a playful scream.
Mm-hmm.
So someone will definitely come out. I mean, the other day we seen, which is out of the blue, I know it's not to do with this, but where a motorbike guy actually stopped a smash and grabber from stealing someone's stuff.
Yes.
It's very rare. So, I mean, why yeah. don't we encourage people to help others? Everyone's so laid back that now they'd rather take a video of something happening instead of going
exactly,
and helping.
Instead of assisting.
You know, I think child walking alone, children should not be unaccompanied. Finish and clear. You know, it's an unsafe South Africa.
But truth be told, it does happen. Sometimes they're waiting for their transport 100%. After school, and maybe the transport is running late, child is alone, walking around the school ground.
I think parents need to sit together with their CPFs, with their communities, with their security companies. In certain communities, there are plans made.
Yes.
You know, they're proper safe. For instance, Western Cape has a walking bus to school program where they walk the children, you know, volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We can put in these measures in place for our children, but we have to sit together and talk, and we have to collaborate. And unfortunately, in many instances, in many communities, there's a disconnect between the collaboration. There's a disconnect.
Yes.
You know, the mistrust of SAPS is so high, the mistrust of CPF members. You know, people just are not active, and we need to re-encourage this kind of active citizenship and the want to work together and collaborate. And it can be done. We can form solutions per community if we work together.
And the whole attitude of, you know, that's not my child. That needs to stop. Every child is your child.
It shouldn't be
that way. Every child is your responsibility.
Because tomorrow when it's your child, you're going to be crying and saying, but no one wants to help me. But when someone else's child was at risk, no one helped them. So I think it's also about pushing the buck. We need to stop doing that.
Most definitely. Bhavani, again, I want to just go back to the whole trauma counseling, right? A child is found who has been in attempted kidnapping. Parents approach you, right? This counseling, is it given? Obviously, it needs to be given to the entire family, I would assume. It's the child as well as the parents. How often does that actually happen based on your
really,
experience?
It's rarely. A lot of the time, I would get calls from cases that don't even relate to something we may have dealt with, but in cases where we've had a missing person and or missing child, and now we found the child and we know that there's an issue at hand, even if we can't assist or myself, we'll definitely refer, but then when you follow up, it wasn't followed through. So there's this belief in society that once the kid is back, okay, we can deal with it. Mm-hmm. So it's how do you deal with it? And that now it's also, okay, so now we've put further limits on the child. So you can't do this, you can't do that, but how is that fixing the problem at hand? So I would encourage all parents, all families, that if your kid does go missing, follow through and make sure that they get the help that they need, because you don't know what was the underlying issue. There's no one just runs away or goes missing or gets kidnapped just because they want to. Or, you know, there's always something behind it.
Crime always carries an emotional consequence for us. Whether it's a direct one, as a victim of crime, or an indirect one. And you have to treat it. The reason we accept such high levels of violence in our society, and the reason that society is such a violent one, and is because we suffer a great emotional trauma from the past. And, you know, as much as people say apartheid's done, so done it, it's not been dealt with. People have not dealt with their emotions, and therefore they carry so much anger and so much resentment, and we're seeing this kind of bubble over into our societies, and we need to deal with the issues, and often the issues are simple to deal with.
Let me say, we can't overemphasize the importance of communication.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what missing. I once said to the people on our platform that, you know, perhaps as a consequence or as a punishment for illegitimate or wrongful missing report where parents do not disclose the kind of the facts behind the case, perhaps we should make counseling a compulsory thing for that family.
Because it's going to happen again.
And like I say, the subversive issues like family dynamics and, you know, irresponsible parenting, irresponsible behaviors are often ignored because you don't want to, nobody wants to call that parent out. Nobody wants to call that uncle out. You're irresponsible. You have to take responsibility. It starts with you. So fix your family dynamic.
And the thing is, if counseling is not given at that time, I mean, the psychological damage, you know, the physical damage will heal. And then as an adult, I mean, this child is growing up into a dysfunctional adult.
If I can add on, we have teams that would go out and help. They also get trauma counseling afterwards because there's things that they may see that, I mean, you don't see in your everyday life. So they also get debriefed. So it's not like the family's the only ones that are affected. There's other outsiders that are strangers that are affected as well.
Like the caller said, you know, you guys, you ladies are out there, you are doing this work. But when you go home, you can't just switch off.
No, you can't.
No. You can't. You're a human being.
Yes.
You know?
Look, that's why debriefing is very important, I think, for first responders and CPF members and, you know, SAFs themselves.
Yes.
And that's why there's such high levels of suicide amongst members, because, you know, these things need to be legitimately dealt with. But, Aisha, also as a consequence of crime, our police stations have victim empowerment centers. And often our community members are reluctant to access the services of the VEC. Unit.
Again, why?
It is there. It is there.
I don't know. There's a stigma attached. What the stigma is, we still yet to figure it out. But I mean, it's not like that's the only place available. Yes, there's so many places.
Individuals, private companies, people like Bhavani, the Islamic Helpline also, free counseling organization. Bhavani is, you know, qualified and goes out onto scene for trauma counseling.
Yes, and she's going to share her contact details with us now for our listeners. I mean, you know, even for schools, you know, if their children have been in any trauma, you know, like an attempted kidnapping, obviously these children need to be counseled. Okay, Bhavani, please share your contact details with us, and then Sumay, I'm going to come to you.
Okay, so the counseling practice is called Bubble Out the Box. The email address is bubbleoutthebox@gmail.com. And then contact number is 064-444-4440.
Okay, please share it with us one more time.
Okay, so the contact number is 064-444-4440.
Okay, thank you, Bhavani. And Sumaya, please share your contact details with us.
People can get hold of me at the Umar Rajalau and her legal clinic. in Lanesia, or at the Islamic Helpline, the 011-852-1930.
Okay, you're going to please repeat that part a little slower.
Oh, apologies. The Islamic Help. People can get hold of me at the Islamic Helpline, 011-852-1930. They can also get hold of me at the Umar Rijalau and her legal clinic in Lanesia. And that contact detail I do not have.
Okay, you can give us your cell number.
I prefer not to give my cell number.
Okay, not a problem.
If,
not a problem.
If we can add, yes. If they can't get hold of either one of us, we do have a CCIN email,
yes,
which they can get hold of us on.
Okay, please share that with us quickly.
CCIN comms, that is COMMS, @gmail.com. And we can put them in touch with a CPF member, somebody in their vicinity, because the CCIN covers the whole of South Africa.
Okay, before we go, we have like 1 minute, your closing message to our listeners. I think more, let's say, our closing message to our youth that are tuned in today.
I would say, you know, you are responsible for your own safety. Be conscious and conscientious about who you are, what you want, and your personal safety.
Alhamdulillah. Lavini?
I think I can agree with Sumaya there, as well as, I mean, be vigilant. I know we're all stuck on our phones, but be aware of your surroundings and what's happening. If you see something suspicious, report it.
And I think my closing statement would be, there is help out there. There is help out there. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If something's been going on at home, please go and speak to somebody. Communicate, communicate, communicate. We cannot overemphasize that enough. On behalf of myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my engineer, we wish you a good week ahead, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as and tune in again next week, inshallah, to Youth Talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.